Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. Very short prayer. Lord, save me. Underline that if you haven't. You need to know that prayer. Sometimes you don't have time to pray a long prayer. Sometimes you don't have time to pray a prayer of many words or many sentences or many paragraphs. He cried saying, Lord, save me. How long does it take to go down into the water? That quickly he said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they made it. And when they were gone over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. When they were gone over. I want to share for a while in this service on faith builders in the storms of life. Faith builders in the storms of life. I believe that all of us, in one way or another, are being confronted with the storms of life. In fact, doubt confronts every generation. It confronted Adam and Eve. It confronted Cain and Abel. It confronted Noah and Abraham and David and Jehoshaphat and Hezekiah and Peter and James and John. Doubt confronts every generation. And the thing that we need to realize is that your faith confession, which simply means that you agree with what God's word has to say, is not a one-time experience. What you have to say about the word of God and about Jesus oftentimes is said many times a day because you speak what God has said about your life. We must speak our faith in every new challenge of faith. We must speak our faith in every new challenge of faith. Because when you speak your faith, Satan will try to contest your faith. But if you keep your eyes on the word, God's going to bring you through. Some people foolishly make fun of faith or make fun of believing God. I don't know how people make it without a real faith in God. So let's look at this portion of God's word. Do you think that heaven had a slow day and God said, I'll tell you what, why don't we just tell about this storm? We need a filler in this part of the Gospels. And so maybe this will fill up some copy. You know, we have a little bit to finish the book here. No. Everything that is in your Bible and everything that is in my Bible, there's a purpose for every story, for every Bible character, for every situation. There's a purpose in the lad with his loaves and fishes. There is a divine purpose in that story. There's a divine purpose in the wedding at Cana of Galilee when a young couple, I mean, they weren't even away from the wedding festivities, and a problem arose, and the Bible tells us that Jesus was the answer to that. And on it goes. Why were there lepers? Why were there blind men? Why were there challenging situations? Because God knew that in all of our lives and in the lives of all of those from that time until now, they would face what to them would be a storm of life. Now, first, I want you to remember this. as we consider faith builders in the storms of life. Number one faith builder is, remember that Jesus chose us and called us. Jesus chose us and called us. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. You were wise enough in faith believing to say yes, but you could have never found Jesus on your own. He sought you out. Jesus was not lost. We were lost. I said, Jesus was not lost. We were lost. And so remember that Jesus chose us and he called us. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. In John the 15th chapter, verse 16. Also in Ephesians 1, 4. It tells us that he called us and chose us before the foundations of the world. You are called of God and you are chosen of God. And if you're called of God and chosen of God, that means you must be something special. So when the storm begins to break upon your life, and sooner or later it will in everyone's life, remember that Jesus chose me and Jesus called me. And that means that I'm very special to the heart of God. He called me and he chose me. You may have been rejected all of your life, but rejoice, my friend. You have been called and you have been chosen. And you're on the right team at the right place at the right time. He called you. He chose you. And that means that you're very special. In the midst of the storm also, remember that Jesus did not call us to lose. Jesus called us to win. That's very important. Born to lose, and now I'm losing you. Haven't heard that song in a while, but I remember hearing it sung. Born to lose, strike number one. Now I'm losing you, strike number two. I'm just waiting for strike number three. But Jesus did not call you to lose. Listen to me. Jesus did not call you to be a loser. Jesus called you to win. You say, I'm not winning tonight. We're working on that. Things are not working tonight. We're working on that. But it just does something for you, regardless of what the nature of the storm may be, to know that not only was I chosen and not only was I called, but Jesus called me to be a winner. Jesus specializes in taking losers and making winners out of them. He called me to win. No matter what has happened, no matter what is happening, no matter whatever will happen from this day that we're speaking of right now, Jesus called you to be a winner. Not a loser, but a winner. Get that in your spirit. I'm not a loser, I'm a winner. I've seen tattoos on people's arms or bodies or whatever, born to lose. Oh, I'd camouflage that some way. I'd paint a red dot over that or a black dot. I'd do something to cover that up, because we're not born to lose, we are born to win. Don't you buy that for one moment. No matter what is happening to you at this time, Jesus called us to win. You say, how do you know that? Because he sent them to the other side. He didn't give an altar call and say, within 24 hours, you're going down. Within 24 hours, the plane you're on will go down, or you'll drive over a cliff, or something disastrous will happen. He did not call us to lose. He called us to win. He said, let us go to the other side. You say, what is the other side? It's good. The other side is good. The other side is what God has provided for us. So the storms of life are crashing. Remember that he chose you and he called you. And remember that you're called to win, not to lose. There's a third insight here that's a real faith builder in the storms of life from Matthew chapter 14. Jesus is praying for us. I said Jesus is praying for us. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's not in heaven interceding for us to lose. He's not in heaven interceding for us to go down or to go under. He is interceding for God's best to take place in your life. Now, you have a decision to make, and I have a decision to make. But if you'll agree with God, that's called confession. That's called believing what God has said, that Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. You remember he said to Peter, Peter, you're going to be sifted. Oh, dear Lord, what does that mean? But I've prayed for you. Oh, thank God, thank God. No matter what you're going through, remember, he's praying for me. And he's praying for me right now. Jesus is praying for me right now. What a joy. What a joy. What a point of rejoicing. He's not against me, he's for me. And if God be for us, who can be against us? You say, I think you're trying to encourage us. You're not going down on my watch. You're not going under on Pastor Bob Nichols' watch. God put me here to encourage you. God put me here to strengthen you. God put me here. And the other staff that works with us and the other ministers that come through, as a team, God put us here to help you. Well, another faith builder in the storms of life is to remember that the storms of life come to all of us. Storms of life come to everyone. I don't know of anyone that's doing something for God that is not going through something. And your something may not be a big deal to me, and my something may not be a big deal to you, but when you're going through something, that's a big deal. And there's three things that we need to focus on when the storms of life are coming to all of us. And you'll notice that, it was about verse 27. In the midst of this storm, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus comes, and they're not even sure it's Jesus. You know, you can be so far under it, you don't even recognize the help that's coming. But let me tell you, in the storms of life, there's three things you need to hold on to. Notice in verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them. They said it's a spirit. I mean, they did not recognize him as the Son of God. Can you imagine? You know, we're 14 chapters into Matthew here. You'd think they'd know the man by now. But you can be so preoccupied with a storm that the last thought in your mind is Jesus. It's just get me out of here. Get me through this situation. Three things that you notice in verse 27. Be of good cheer. Now that really goes over when you're all stressed out and you want a pity party. And you see this bright smile and this happy note. Be of good cheer. You don't understand my situation. Leave me alone. It's like mother trying to get the kids up in the morning. Leave me alone. I don't hear you. I don't receive you. Somebody across the aisle from our hotel room, for 1 hour and a half, the alarm went off. And finally, I thought, you know, enough is enough. And so I called housekeeping, and they said, and then I called, stepped to the door about 4 minutes later, and the alarm was off. And I called, and I said, well, it just went off. They said, yes, we know. We just called them and woke them up. Can you imagine somebody sleeping through an alarm that they'd had complaints from four rooms on either side? Some people can sleep through anything. Some people can sleep through help. They can sleep through faith. They can sleep through hope. I mean, every alarm bell in heaven is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. I was amazed. I was just absolutely amazed. I mean, it was a very shrill, obviously annoying sound. It woke me up two rooms away. And for an hour and a half, I got in the Word and I did some other things, but that alarm was still there. But you know, folks, in every one of our lives, there's an alarm from heaven that's coming tonight saying, wake up! God's best is yours. Good things are on the way. Look away from the mess and look to Jesus. Well, there's three things. First of all, you need to hold on to that cheer. Be of good cheer. Cheer and joy and gladness are in the same family. Be of good cheer. I mean, these guys are bummed out. Their boat's going down. There's a storm going on. And it sounds just like a preacher said, be of good cheer. Yeah, Pastor, yeah. You don't understand. Well, he said, be of good cheer. Number two, he said, it is I. Which tells us we can be of good cheer in the midst of the storm. But also it tells us that Jesus is in the midst of your storm. It is I. Now, think just a moment. If Jesus is there, how am I going under? It is I. I'm here. I'm not in heaven. You don't even have to pray, oh, Jesus in heaven, I'm here. Be of good cheer. It is I. And number three, he said, be not afraid. And you know, that's a decision that all of us have to make every day of our life. Because you see, either we're living by faith or we're living by fear. No Mr. In between. We're either on God's side or we're on the side of reasoning. And every day I have to make my decision just like every one of you have to make your decision. So three things in the midst of the storm. He said, first of all, be of good cheer. Lighten up. It's going to be all right. I mean, right in the midst of bad news, you can just have a good belly laugh. You can rejoice in the Lord. I'll tell you, the joy and the laughter and the cheer has never been a problem to me in the spirit of revival. And you've seen all the sad faces I've seen through so many years. I mean, joy is good. Happiness is good. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Flip side that, and without the joy of the Lord, you're in trouble. Rejoice. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. You wake up at 3:00 in the morning, your mind's going like a shutter on a camera. You have a decision to make. Am I going to be sad or am I going to be of good cheer? Am I going to recognize that Jesus is here in this room? And number three, am I going to be in faith or am I going to be in fear? I have a decision to make. Am I going to see the bad side of everything or the good side of everything? Am I going to see the word side of everything or am I going to see the reason side of everything? The storms of life come to everyone. And you know, there's a tendency when those storms come, and some of us have been on the Sea of Galilee, and we know how quickly those storms can come up. But oh, Father, in Jesus' name, when the storms of life come, I can make the decision. I will be of good cheer. Jesus is here, and I choose not to live in fear. Now, there's another faith builder in the storms of life that I want to share with you. And every one of these are so practical. They're so down to earth. Remember that Jesus is never late. He's always on time. Why did he come at the fourth watch of the night? Everyone can speculate. Volumes of sermons and teaching material has gone out on the fourth watch of the night. Some say it's the darkest hour of the night. Probably that's as good as any. But the thing that I have to say, that Jesus appeared just in time. And I remember Hal Bredesen spoke in our downtown location a few years ago, and he said, you know, Jesus misses a lot of opportunities to be early, but he's never late. Misses a lot of opportunities to be early, according to our time, you see. But he's never late. Jesus is never late. Jesus never fails. Jesus is never late. Jesus is always right on time. And when our trust and our faith is in him, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Thank you, Lord. Now, some people said, Brother Nichols, we want deep teaching. You know the problem with people that love deep teaching? It seems like they're always going under. It's not working. I remember my home pastor said years ago, some people can dive in deeper and come out shallower than anyone I ever saw in my life. And I mean, you can nitpick everything about, and I love Bible knowledge. I love trivia. I love detail. I love insights. I love all that. But honey, when I'm going down for the third time, don't throw your Strong's Concordance at me. Show me how to get out of the storm. Don't talk Greek and Hebrew to me. Tell me how to get out. I'm in trouble. I need some help. I need some encouragement. And every time fear comes, there's always a spirit of loneliness and self-centeredness that comes with fear. I want to be by myself. Poor company. You understand what I'm saying? You need to break out of yourself and let self. That's why he said, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. Well, you know, as you look at that, Jesus is never late. I could write volumes on that. Never late. I have a few deadlines that I, in the natural, would say, seems like he's getting pretty close to being late on this. But he's never late. He was there just in time. Another faith builder in the storms of life is keep your eyes on the word and not the wind. Keep your eyes on the word. I have to be careful not to switch gears here because I love to preach. It's been a while since I have on the power of one word. You see, Jesus said, come. 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 He didn't define it. He didn't describe it. He didn't go into any dialogue. You remember he just told Peter, he said, he said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And I think it startled him when he said, come. Sometimes he startles us, doesn't he? Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh. Hush, come. Oh, he took me seriously. Come. Come. Keep your eyes on the word, not on the wind. Have you ever heard someone say, oh, I know what the word says, but. Oh, I know what the Bible says, but. There is no other final source of information except what God has said. And I'm telling you, the life jacket of God's word will bring you through a Titanic going under. One word can make the difference in your life. Come! Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest unto your soul. Keep your eyes on the word, not on the wind. I've lived this. I've walked this out. I've almost gone under a few times, it seemed. But I'm here to tell you that if you'll keep your eyes on the word, keep your eyes on the promise of God, keep your eyes on the word, God will bring you through the storm. Here's another one that's very interesting. This is our final point that we would share with you in Faith Builders in the Storms of Life from Matthew chapter 14. Short prayers of faith are the most powerful prayers. Short prayers of faith are the most powerful prayers. You know, some people just get lost in their own words. I know when traveling as a young minister, we'd go into congregations that... I know why they send young ministers in there, because you just don't know better. They sent me to a church that was split right down the middle. I don't mean slightly split. It was the Hatfields and the McCoys. And I wondered why the president was so jubilant that I was going. He said, you're the man. I'm green, I'm young, I'm just starting to preach. But I wasn't. In the natural or in the spiritual, I wasn't afraid of anything. I had nothing to lose. And I remember going into this church, and I knew this about it. When I walked up to the church, there was one crowd on one side and another crowd on the other side. And one crowd would not go in until the other crowd went in. And someone gave me a clue. They said, there's been a serious split here. I said, oh, well, you know. I said, well, that's not a problem. We'll just preach the word. I just knew God had the answer. And I mean, sitting in that, they would not even, you know, they would not even look across. You either sat in this section or you sat in this section. And here they have this young preacher who's just started, and I'm there. God's called me to preach. And I've got one direction. These people are divided down the middle. And something in my spirit said, that's not right. Another part of me said, we can get this thing straightened out. And I'm telling you, I preached to that church like everybody there was going to hell. Maybe they were. And it was hard plowing. But really, I didn't care. I mean, there was just something in me that was just like a Doberman. You know, it was the Spirit of God. It wasn't that I was so brave. But in my spirit, something said, division is not of God. Strife is not of God. Two camps are not of God. That's what division is all about. I wished I'd had a tape. They didn't tape anything back then. But I'm telling you, I preached. I don't even know all that I did say, but I remember the essence of it. I do remember every one of you are going to bust hell wide open if you don't repent before God and start loving one another. And then I had them all stand and have them come forward and one section go to the other one, and they did it. They did it. And people began to weep, and they began, I mean, you talk about a repentance service. We had church. And they said that it had been that way for several years. Why do you even come to church when you don't love? Why do you even? I was just reading through 1 and 2 Peter. How many times did he say, love one another, charity, charity, love one another, divine love, agape love, the love of God. If there's anything the Bible teaches, we're to love one another. And the report came back, and he said, man, he said, you don't realize what a miracle happened there Sunday morning. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, everybody in the district knows that church is one of the worst problems we have. But they had revival Sunday morning. But the Spirit of God got through to them. It wasn't me. I'm not taking credit for that. But how did I get there from short prayers? I don't know. Short prayers of faith are the most powerful prayers. I don't know how I got there. What did Peter say? Lord, save me. Help me. Lord, save me. It works. It works. It works. Satan tried to take my life, and when I woke up and the car was at a high rate of speed, I was trying to get home so we could go to work in a summer job. Approaching our senior high school time, and I was so tired, I was so weary, I couldn't, you know, my brain was just numb. We'd worked long hours loading trucks, drove to East Texas, and we had dated a couple of girls there. That's what it was all about. I might as well tell you what that was about. But anyway, and I was kosher. I got in on time, and he was late. And so I'm sitting out on the front swing because this lady's already gone in, her father's preacher, and she's already inside and the door's locked, and I'm sitting out on the swing waiting for my buddy to come up. And so he comes up and he throws the keys to me and he said, you drive home. I said, thanks a lot. And that's what I was doing. But I remember when I woke out of that, whatever, you know, you were so tired you just lost it. And I remember hearing that gravel pinging. Sickening sound had gone to the shoulder, and I woke up just in time to grab the wheel, which wasn't the wise thing to do, and then that car just went completely out of control. But all I remember, I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Three times I said, Jesus. I remember that. I didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to call up Billy Graham's choir and let them sing Just As I Am without one plea. I didn't have time for one more whatever. I said, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And when that car came to a crumpled heap, it was just a mess. There was not one scratch. Sam had some stitches in his face, but there was not one scratch. And where I was driving, it was like a helmet right above the driver's seat. You didn't have seat belts back then. I remember holding on to the wheel with one hand and had the gear shift with the other, and it was bent completely under the steering wheel. And when I woke up, there was just like an angel had just protected my head right above where I was driving. You could see it in the photos. I don't know, somewhere we've lost them along the way. Oh, friend, listen. God hears short prayers of faith. God hears short prayers of faith. And so when you're in the storm, and we all go through some storms, remember that Jesus chose us and called us. That's so wonderful. Remember that Jesus called us to win, not to lose. He said that we're to go to the other side. That thirdly, Jesus is praying for us. Oh, how special that is, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Fourthly, that the storms of life come to all believers. How do you have testimonies unless you have a test? Every big thing that we read in the Bible, somebody went through something awesome. And they came through, and that's what encourages us. That people all over the world, just like us, are going through some stuff, but we come through, they come through. Jesus is praying for us. The storms of life come to all, that Jesus is never late. He's always on time. Keep your eyes on the word, not the wind. Please remember what I'm saying. You know, there's feelings and there's emotions. I mean, right now, there's feelings and emotions I could go to just like that. Just like that. There's a number of things that I could go to real quickly. And every once in a while, something of the past will try to get you to spin back. Not to go there, but to go there mentally. And you know, you just have to learn the discipline. Don't go there. No, I'm not going there. That's not who I am. That's not where I'm coming from. Don't go there. Don't go back. Go forward. There's several things that just, if I just get in the soulish realm, and that's where even so many charismatic and full gospel people, they get so wrapped up in the soulish realm. Their life is in a person, or their life is in, you know, something that obviously God's not real excited about because it's not working out very well. Don't go back. Go forward. You can't undo the past, but I can go to the future that God has for me. And I'm telling you the thrilling thing about serving Jesus, any day of your life can be the first day of the rest of your life. It doesn't make any difference what's happened, who's happened, what has gone on in your life. This moment can be the first moment of the rest of your life. And then remember that short prayers of faith are the most powerful ones. Lord, save us. Let me say something to you just out of my heart. It's time to lock in on your faith. In, out, up, down, waves. No wonder you're seasick. Well, I'll never forget that fishing trip. I will never. Heard a preacher talking about the same thing that happened to them on the coast, and I'm sitting there in an auditorium, and I said, what is wrong with me? No, I'm not going there. It's time to lock into faith. You're not who you used to be. You're not where you used to be. You're not in bondage to what you used to be in bondage to. The blood has covered your sins. The blood has covered your sins. You're not the same Peter the pebble. You're Peter the rock. You're not a loser, you're a winner. You're not going under, you're going over. Lock into your faith now. Well, I've been through that faith stuff. Sorry you feel that way about it, because you've got some other lessons to learn. If I did not know the principles of faith, there's no way I'd be standing on this platform. I'd be 6 foot under tonight. It's the principles of faith in God's word that hold you in every storm of life. Don't let everything that happens shake your tree. Don't let everything that happens throw you into a tailspin. Don't let everything that happens just, oh my God, what am I? Just hold to God's unchanging hand. This is what God has said. If that's what God has said. And I know when I preach like this, I know there's some that are on the edge. I realize that I can't help that. I've just got to let me be free to preach the word of God. And if you're doing what God called you to do and you're on the trail that God called you to be on, you qualify for what I'm preaching tonight. The storms of life come to everyone. But did they come through the storm? Yes. Can you come through the storm? Yes. Yes.